How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
There's probably no single practice that is in every single yoga tradition, but maybe the most constant has been meditation, stilling the mind, you know, in order to correctly perceive reality, because it's that shift in perception that enables the transcendence of suffering or getting out of the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth.
That's Deborah Diamond, Associate Curator of South and Southeast Asian Art for the Smithsonian Institute, speaking on PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly about the meaning of yoga. You hear it all the time. People say, I'm going to go to yoga. They got clothes that are named after yoga, yoga pants, yoga mat, yoga. Well, I don't guess you wear shoes. I tried some power yoga once. I've never sweated so much in my entire life. What I noticed in doing this bit of exercise was that the person leading it took it way more seriously than I did, not only in their devotion to the exercise, but in their devotion to the ideas behind, or that can be behind, what some people just view as kind of like spinning class or Zumba or anything like that. It's just another form of exercise. What is behind yoga and those who take it seriously? What is it they actually are taught to believe? Joining us to talk about yoga, Marcia Montenegro. She spent 8 years as a professional astrologist, and she's founder of Christian Answers for the New Age. Marcia, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on, Todd.
Marcia, I was coming out of a public function yesterday, and there were some ladies going in while I was going out, and I heard one of the ladies just say offhand to her friend, well, I'll call you when I'm done with yoga. What does that usually mean when you hear a group of ladies talk about going to yoga or yoga class? What does that mean?
Well, in their minds, probably most of them think of it as a physical exercise or a physical discipline, maybe with a dash of spirituality in it. I think that it's been marketed so successfully in this country, and it's been marketed so that it's associated with health, with beauty, with youth, and with exercise. So all of those things are associated now with yoga. It's just comes as a package in people's minds. So I think it's a little more than exercise, even though they may say they're just doing it for exercise. There's a glamour attached to it and a sort of maybe for a lot of people, an indescribable spiritual element. Of course, I do believe there is definitely a spiritual element. I think you can find a spectrum of yoga practitioners. You can find people who are doing it in their minds for a health or physical benefit, and then you can find people who want that, but they also want a little more, and then people who really do believe the spiritual element is there, or they already know it's there, and so they're seeking that, because yoga is taught in many venues. So it's taught at the Y, it's taught now even in churches, and it's taught in yoga studios, which sometimes are very upfront about the spirituality that underlies it.
Should we automatically distinguish between yoga in its original practice, that is, in its Eastern practice, as opposed to what become yoga in American society?
Should we distinguish between that?
Yeah, I mean,
no, I mean, I don't think so. And let me explain something that a lot of people may not understand. When you're talking about yoga and what I'm saying and answering you, we are talking about Hatha yoga, which is the kind most people in this country think of, the one that you go to the Y for, the yoga studio for, and you do the different postures or asanas. And that's what everyone thinks yoga is. Yoga is a much, much broader category. It's there are many types of yoga. yoga means union, and you can achieve union many ways. So there's a yoga of meditation, there's a yoga of action, there's a yoga of devotion, and so there's six or seven types of yoga, depending on who you ask. And there's different, you know, there's just so many different facets of Eastern spirituality that it's really hard to nail it down in numbers. But Hatha yoga is the yoga that uses the body as a tool. The body and the breath are tools in order to prepare you for the more advanced stages of yoga, where meditation becomes more important, with the goal always being union. So, and union originally, traditionally in Hinduism, is with Brahma, the main chief deity. In the New Age, the way yoga is presented in this country is often in a New Age format. So it's union with, you know, however you see a god, you know, the one, the one who is all, the universe, or maybe even your higher self. But it is designed to use the body to bring you into states of mind where your view of reality will shift. And on the 2-minute video that was at the link I was sent about the yoga exhibition that's traveling to different art galleries around the country, the woman even says that. She says, this is to shift your view of reality. That's exactly what it is.
Why do you think so few view it as inherently or for all intents and purposes, inherently religious?
Because it is. That's why. It's because that's what it is. It was designed that way. It was not designed for exercise. Originally, to learn yoga, including Hatha yoga, you had to find a teacher, a guru, and be taught. At first, you had to be accepted as a student and then be taught, because it was so esoteric. The teachings are extremely esoteric. They're actually occultic. And it wasn't just out there in the open. So these were teachings that were done by one-on-one training from the guru to the student. You know, that eventually broke open where more people were taught, especially when a lot of Westerners went to India in the 60s. And when yoga teachers came to this country, especially in the 70s, and one of the reasons they wanted to bring yoga to this country was as a vehicle for Hinduism. Now, this is not just my opinion. This was admitted in an article in Yoga Journal in 2000. And the theme of that yoga journal was, are we losing the spirituality that is part of yoga? Are we emphasizing it too much as a physical practice? And are we losing the spirituality? And ever since then, I have subscribed to Yoga Journal. I don't subscribe to it all the time, but every 3 or 4 years, I get it for a year. And I have noticed, especially starting around 07 and 08, it has gotten increasingly spiritual, including prayers sometimes to Hindu deities. So the spiritual element will not go away from yoga, no matter how much one tries to erase it.
So even in, for lack of a better word, kind of the official yoga movement in the West, it's actually, instead of moving away from the inherent spirituality, it's moving back toward it, or at least attempting to.
I think a lot of people who are serious about yoga are trying to move it that way. I think we'll continue to see it presented by some people and in some venues like the Y or churches more as a physical activity. But I certainly have seen this move from the people serious about yoga, like the people associated with Yoga Journal and the big yoga teachers in this country, wanting to reemphasize the spiritual component. And in fact, a few years ago, the state regulators in the state of Virginia, where I live, wanted to set up something to regulate those who get training to be yoga teachers. They wanted to have some kind of certification program for them. And the yoga teachers protested because they said, you can't regulate what we do because it has a spiritual component, and you can't regulate that. So then all of a sudden, yoga is very spiritual when the state wanted to regulate them. And, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, they were going to, you know, like open a gym or something. You know, now they have set themselves apart from people teaching physical things and just admitted the spiritual component and used that as a way to protest getting regulated. So when you get right down to the nitty-gritty, that's what you're going to find. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't see it because what they do is take the Eastern terms like pranayama, which is the term for the breathing exercises and is a very spiritual term and has a spiritual purpose, and they say breathing exercise. Or they don't say the chakras. They say, you know, along your spine, or they'll say the energy centers, or they'll use some kind of vague term where people may not even pay attention to what they're saying. So it's been despiritualized through the language, but I don't think the spiritual component has gone away. It just appears to have gone away.
Marcia Montenegro spent 8 years as a professional astrologist, and she is founder of Christian Answers for the New Age. You'll find more about Christian Answers for the New Age at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Marcia, thank you for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with James Patrick Holding. He's president of Tecton Apologetics Ministry. A question that sometimes comes up about, well, one of the darkest figures in recent history, Adolf Hitler. Was he a Christian? He claimed to be, in some sense. What was Christianity behind his terrible ideas? We'll answer that question right after this.
Folks attending last year's Making the Case conference absolutely loved the barbecue from Randy's House of Barbecue in Troy and Highland, Illinois. The pork, chicken, ribs, and beef are prepared just like the old days in a pit cooked over hickory, apple, and wild cherry wood. Randy's House of Barbecue, Route 40 and Troy O'Fallon Road in Troy, and at 2649 Northtown Way in Highland. Randy's House of Barbecue, randysbbq.com.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us, and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We talk to the biggest names in religion today, liberal bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity Reza Aslan.
By definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org.